So we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter's laying the groundwork here. Well, he's been laying the groundwork, but now he's going to say something that's a little bit of a punch in the face. I'm just going to tell you right up front. This is one of the reasons I love the book of 1 and 2 Peter, because he doesn't play around. The book of James, same way, right? James, listen, if you read James, that is like God constantly poking you in the eye. I mean, it's like, oh, there's another one, right? Well, here in this passage, Peter is, he's telling the saved the benefit and the lost the price. And I'm just going to tell you, you need to know where you are. The reason that we're going through 1 Peter is I think that that it's for such a time as this, for where we are in America, where the church is in America, where Christians are in America, the mentality of people today. And they have this false idea of who God is. You know, I've said this before, you know, America right now is in this God is love movement, right? God's all love. God's not going to judge anyone. God loves you just the way you are. God made you just the way you are. Don't change. God is love. And I'm here to tell you that is a false gospel. God is love. God is just. God is righteous and he's holy. And so what we find from God is God says, listen, if you believe in my son, Jesus Christ, these are your benefits. If you don't believe in my son, Jesus Christ, this is your cost. Now, people love to believe in the benefits. Amen. Right. We always want to find the good. But man, when it goes negative, we have a hard time with it. And today's society, no offense, I know it's nobody in here, but today's society is a bunch of wimps, whiny, crybaby wimps. I'm just trying to be nice as I lay the groundwork. There was a university student who told a pastor, I've decided I don't believe in God. All right, the pastor replied, could you please describe for me the God you don't believe in? The student proceeded to sketch a caricature of God, a portrait of one who was completely unfair and lacking in essential goodness. The pastor said to him, well, we're in the same boat. I don't believe in that God either. Amen? Listen, what happens is, especially today and students today, because the problem is parents today. And you go, oh, pastor, no, you need to hear me. Let me tell you something. We have a problem with parents. We have a problem with churches. We have a problem with pastors. We have a problem with schools. We have a problem with the family unit. We have a problem with the government. We have a problem. We have a problem. And what's the problem? Nobody's teaching truth anymore. It's so limited and so minimum, right? Parents are like, oh, let them find their own way. Shame on you if that's your attitude. And the government says, oh, this is what used to be right is now wrong, and what used to be wrong is now right, and this mass confusion, and then this constant barrage of information. You got to do this. Oh, don't do that. Now you got to do this. Oh, don't. Oh, and then people are just losing their mind, don't know what to believe, and they just fall back and do nothing. And then they get run over. I'm going to tell you today, Peter lays this out. And he does such a wonderful job with it. Of course, it depends on what side of this belief you're on if he does a wonderful job with it, amen? Right? Like if you're on the non-believer side, I'm just going to tell you right now, this isn't pretty for you. If you're on the believer side, meaning that you believe in Jesus Christ, amen and amen, it's good. And the scriptures are going to tell us. And I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you exactly where your heart is. One of the downfalls to preaching verse by verse, I don't get to pick the topic we discuss, right? God picks it. One of the positives of going verse by verse, the exegetical preaching as we call it, is I don't get to pick the topic. God does. and we learn truth according to what the Word of God says, and we don't get a message that the pastor wants to give you, because if it's up to me, I would give you a better message. I mean, come on, because then you'd love me more. You would think I'm awesome. Oh, pastor always makes me feel so good when I leave there. It's like a little puppy just getting the back of his butt scratched. He's like, oh, it's so good. And I'm not that guy. So, I don't go on the list of, ooh, there's pastor. He's gonna make the day better. They're like, oh, there's pastor. Lord, why do I come here? Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion. Zion is literally means fortress, but it's another name for Jerusalem. Everything in the Bible focuses around and centers around Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the key city in the scriptures. And this is what God, and listen, I'm telling you, God loves Jerusalem. All throughout it says that God loves Zion. And again, Zion is Jerusalem. It says, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame or disappointed or face doom. Now think about that. Hey, will you put that verse up here for me, please? I want to look at it, because I need you guys to see some things. And just be ready, 6, 7, and 8. That way you're ready for all that. Thank you, guys. All right, so in 1 Peter chapter 6, says there it is also contained in the scriptures. Well, here's what we know about the scriptures, is that they're all true. Amen? Either the Bible is all truth or it's all a lie, and you and I cannot decide what is truth and what is a lie, because it's not up to us. For the Word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing all the way through into the bone and the marrow. It's good, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the person of God might be complete, lacking nothing. And so as we look at this, you have to understand, Peter here is trying to tell us that if you love Jesus, it's going to become obvious, and you will not be put to shame, or you will not be disappointed, you will not face doom, you won't face the wrath of God, all of that wrapped up into one in this verse. Now think about that promise just for a second. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, this is your promise. Doesn't mean you're not going to have issues going through life. Oh my goodness, how many have issues? Amen. How many love Jesus? Amen. You're going to have issues. Jesus even said, don't think it strange when trials come upon you, right? We're going to have that. But I'm talking ultimately, when it all is said and done. Verse 7. Therefore what? Because of what I just said in 6. If you notice in 6, go back to 6 one more time, please. If you notice in 6, the first word of 6 is therefore. Therefore is verses 1 through 5. Remember, you don't want me to re-preach that, amen? But because of everything I preached in the last however many months it took me to get through 5 verses, therefore covers that. And then we have this, and then go to 7. Therefore, because of what I just told you in 6, verse 6, it only goes back to verse 6. Therefore, to you who, what? Believe. Now listen, some of you in here, you have religion. You are straight up religious, or as I love when people tell me, well, pastor, I'm very spiritual. Yeah, let me help you. Everybody is. You say, really? Yeah, everybody has a religion. If you believe in nothing, that's your religion. By definition, amen? Listen, you believe in evolution. That's religion by definition. Everybody has religion. Everybody's spiritual to a degree. But this verse is, if you to you who believe, he, Jesus, is precious. Very specific. If you believe it's Jesus Christ who is precious, this is good for you. You won't be ashamed. You won't be disappointed. You won't face doom. You won't face the wrath of God. But to those who are disobedient, disobedient are those who do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To you, the stone which the builders rejected, the builders are the Jewish leaders, and very specific in this passage. I don't want to mislead anyone. I mean, it could be anyone who doesn't believe, but as Peter's writing this, he's very specific to the Jewish leaders. But if we believe like the Jewish leaders, then it applies to us, amen? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is it. Irregardless of what people believe, Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And if you believe, you're not doomed. Well, that's just a fantastic message this morning, amen? Yay, Pastor, you're making me feel so good. Well, if you believe, you should be feeling good, amen? Okay, and if you don't believe, come back next week. I'm sure it'll be better. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. What's really interesting in this verse is that Jesus Christ isn't all love in here, is he? Do you notice this? It doesn't say, and Jesus, the cornerstone, Jesus, him, he, is all love and would never trip anyone up. That's not what it says. It says Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People are offended by Jesus. They're offended by the gospel. They're offended by truth. They're offended by other Christians. And why are they? Because this Bible and Christians that live by it will say, no, you can't do that. Nope, that's not right. Nope, sorry. The homosexual lifestyle is a sin. Contrary to what the world says, it's a sin and should not be practiced. Pastor, you are a homophobe. Okay, what do you want me to do? Listen, we treat the word of God like a lion. We just set it free and it'll defend itself. Right? A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ our Lord. And people say, oh, Pastor, you don't own Christianity. And you're right, I don't own it. But I sure enough have obtained favor with Jesus because I believe in him, right? I know the one who does own it. And it's only through him can you get to heaven. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Disobedient. You don't believe it, so you don't follow it. And listen, it's not just being good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there being good, but you're disobedient to the word in that you don't surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't believe. So therefore, you do opposite of what the word of God says. You're disobedient to it. Isn't that what that verse says? Wait, come on now. Now, if I'm reading this wrong, somebody just stand up and tell me how wrong I am. I have zero problems with that. I really don't, you know. They stumble. Who is they? Non-believers stumble. They're disobedient, meaning they don't follow this, they don't believe it, and yet it's for them what was appointed, the word of God, truth. Look, just so you guys know, I already knew coming in here this morning I wasn't going to be popular. All right, I died to that one today. Okay, so as we're looking at this, guys, I want you to see that there are two very specific people that the scriptures are talking about in 6, 7, and 8. Because people are like, oh, you Christians, you're so divisive. You're always dividing. I didn't divide this. Who divided this? God did. God said the believers and the non-believers. I didn't say that. God said that. Well, Pastor, I don't like it. Let me tell you something. I've read verses I don't like either. Amen. Anybody else? I've read passages where I'm like, Lord, we're going to talk when I get, Lord, am I the only one? Has anybody else read a verse you didn't like? Yeah, right? Right? And why don't we like it? Because it doesn't give us permission to fulfill the desires that we have that are contrary to the Word of God. That's why we don't like it. And some of you, you don't like what I'm saying today because you're like Cain. I know, it's like a slap in the face, but hold on. You're like Cain. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel. What was Cain trying to do, and why did God cast him out, and what was the whole issue? Cain wanted his own religion. He wanted his own way to serve God, worship God, sacrifice to God, give to God, and acknowledge God. And God said, it's not acceptable. You can't bring vegetables in. I wanted a blood sacrifice. You can't do it your way. It's got to be my way. And see, people don't like that. You're Cain. And God's like, listen, I'm not changing this just for you. You either believe in Jesus Christ, my son, or you don't. And you who believe, you will not be disappointed and you won't experience the wrath of God. If you don't believe, oh, you're going to be crushed into a powder. Wait a minute, what? God's going to crush you into a powder? Ultimate destruction? Oh, not that you'll never know because you'll remember your whole life because hell says, or the Bible says hell is a place where the worm doesn't die and you go and it's gnashing of teeth and wailing and weeping and crying 24/7, 365 days a year. It never, ever ends for eternity and eternity and eternity. And you say, Pastor, I don't like this. I don't like it either. But what if nobody tells you that? And then you have to experience it because someone was silent. And Peter's like, listen, I'm not going to be silent. You got to know, you got to hear it, because then if you decide, you are not ignorant. You're not ignorant. You made a conscious decision to ignore the Word of God. And then we pay the price for that. But I want you to see in John 8:42. There's a joy in loving Jesus and a benefit. John 8:42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. See, this is the problem, guys. Some of us, not, I'm sure nobody in here. No, I'm sure there are people in here. You say you love God, but you don't love Jesus. And the Bible says if you don't love Jesus, you don't love God. You can't separate the two. They're inseparable. They go hand in hand. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. I am of God. In the upper room, he told the apostles in John 14:21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. See, you know, people are like, oh, I love Jesus, but man, you don't follow the Word of God. You don't keep the Word of God. You don't listen to the Word of God. You don't read the Word of God. You're disconnected from the Word of God. You don't love God. And you don't love Jesus. And therefore, if you don't love God, you don't love Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You are the non-believer. It is he who has my commandments and keeps them. That's the one that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, who is the him? If you notice, it says here, and he, the person who loves me, Jesus, will be loved by my Father, God, and I, Jesus, will love the person and manifest myself, Jesus, to the person. That's exactly what that says. I don't want you to get lost in the he's and the hims, like who are we talking about? Amen. Sometimes you, here's another thing, and one of the reasons that we use New King James at connecting point, because if you notice, it says he, that's the beginning of the sentence, so that's going to be capitalized, obviously. He who has my commandments, my, you notice my is capitalized, that's a reference to God. And keeps them, it is he. You notice that's little h, because that's reference to man. And he who loves me, reference to Jesus. See the capitalization? It helps you to understand it. So if you don't have a New King James Bible, let me encourage you to get one, just because it helps bring clarity to how you're reading. Okay? And that will help you to stay connected. At any rate, 23 through 24. John 14, 23 through 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone, that's all of humanity or anyone in humanity, if anyone loves me, he, that person, will keep my, Jesus' word. And remember, in John chapter 1, 1 through 5, who's the word? Jesus. And Jesus gave the word, the Bible. So he says, he who keeps my word, the scriptures, this is his word, just for clarity. He who will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with that person. Not just Jesus, but he says, and we. How is it we? You know, so it's the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, not the Spirit of the Father. It's the Spirit of Christ. But the we is, there's no difference between the two. The Father sent Jesus. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to live in us. Therefore, Jesus does what he does through permission of the Father. The Holy Spirit does what he does through permission of the Father and the guiding of the Father. There's no difference. They won't go against each other. That's the beauty of the Trinity. You know, you have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three separate individuals. We see it throughout Scripture. The Father's the Father. He's supreme. Then the Son, then the Holy Spirit. What makes them the Trinity? One God. They'll never go against each other. Never. That's why Jesus says, if you see me, you've seen my Father. There's no difference in us. We're different, but there's no difference in us. Amen? Do you guys understand that? And so here he says, listen, if anyone loves me, that person will keep my word. You can't love God separate from being obedient. Obedience shows the respect and the love. Amen. Verse 24. He who does not love, let's try it again. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word, which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And again, the people that don't love Jesus don't believe the word of God. You don't believe it. And I'm just going to tell you, this isn't even in my, pull this up for me. I'm going to throw one at you I didn't put in there, John 8:47. Will you put that up for me, please? John 8:47. If you're taking notes, write that down. Here we go. Because this is a litmus test. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again, and it never fails. You know why? Because the word of God never fails. It doesn't change, it doesn't lie, it has never lied, it won't lie, it is what it is, and it'll sustain for life, forever and ever. He, the person, who is of God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is of them and what they stand for. The person who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So if you're sitting here and you're like, and I read a verse and you go, yep, can't deny that. That's truth. Yep, that's truth. I don't even like it, but it's truth because it's the word of God. You know, people who say, hey, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No. God said it. That settled it. Done. Doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. Doesn't even matter what we like. It doesn't matter if we think it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. It doesn't matter if it, that's so good, makes me feel so good, or, oh, it's a dagger to the heart. It's really immaterial because it's the truth of God, the Word of God. And if you believe it, then you're of God. If you don't believe it, you're not of God. It's really quite simple. And so I always start out with, people, it's so funny. I go, do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Do you believe the Word of God is all truth without error? Yeah. So you believe that God made a special fish, swallowed up Jonah, went to the depths of the sea for 3 days. At the end of 3 days, he comes to the top, vomits him out onto the beach, and then Jonah's obedient and goes and tells Nineveh about God? Come on now, Pastor. You can't believe all that. Well, wait a minute. There's your problem. There's a problem. God said it happened. That it actually, really happened. It's a true event, not story. It was an event in history. Well, you can't believe all of that. Come on. You know, some of that's a little far-fetched. Ah, you don't believe in God because you don't hear the Word of God. See how easy this gets? And you guys, Pastor, you're oversimplifying it. I got to do something to make sure you hear and understand. And I'm not oversimplifying when you read it. How much more simple can, and by the way, Jesus is saying this. These are the words of Jesus. He who is of God hears God's word or words. And then he tells the Jews, he's in this huge debate. If you go back and read John chapter 8, it is a fantastic, phenomenal chapter because it is all the Jewish leaders and the lawyers and the rich and the wealthy, and they've all come in this massive crowd to debate Jesus. Well, that tells you right there, they're not very intelligent. But they all come, and now they're all trying to debate Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, because they're like, Abraham's our father. Jesus says, Abraham's not your father, because if Abraham were your father, you would believe me because Abraham believed me. You're of your father, the devil. That's politically correct, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Satan's your daddy. All right, that wasn't good. But you get the idea, right? And so then as it pursues on in chapter 8, where Jesus just keeps telling them that Satan is your father, then he gets here and he says, listen to me. You don't believe, and that's literally what it means. He who is of God hears God's words. They hear it. They receive it. They understand it. They believe it, period. That is what it means. But if you don't believe it, you're not of God. You know, even when I first got saved and people would read passages to me, I didn't understand them. I mean, right, you got to study it out and research it and everything else. But not one time did I ever believe it wasn't true. I just didn't understand it until I had to study it out and learn it. See, there's a difference between not understanding and not believing. And here he says, not believing. Boy, I got to move on because you guys are just doing so well here. Later in the discourse, Jesus tells his apostles, 16:27. In John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Are you guys noticing a correlation in these scriptures? You love me, I and my Father love you. You don't love me because you don't know me or my Father. And my Father will not love you because you don't love me. And if you're not sure if you love me, do you believe the Word of God is the Word of God? That would help tell you. And are you obedient to it? See, this is real simple, guys. This isn't about religion. This is about a relationship. And we get lost in religion and doing and do's and don'ts and feel goods and feel bads. And that wouldn't be of God because that makes me feel bad. Well, we already read in the scriptures where Jesus says, I'm a stumbling block and an offense to the people who don't believe. Jesus himself says that. Guys, this isn't all feel good and frilly, I know, but well, welcome to the scriptures. Here we go. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. That's why God the Father loves you. And have believed that I came from God. Look at that. Do you see the two? See the and? That's a twofold process. Because you love me and you believe that I came forth from God, that I am who I say I am. I am who the scriptures say I am. I am who the Father says I am. You believe both. Now you go to heaven because it's that belief. And the fact that you're obedient to the word of God, you surrender to the word of God, that is proof that you love Jesus. The belief gets you to heaven. The loving of God and following the word of God shows you love Jesus. That's what it's talking about right here. Therefore, believing in Christ and loving him it's inseparable. You can't separate the two. 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if anyone loves God, this one, who's the one? The anyone, right? So how about this? But if any person loves God, this person is known by God. That's how it would read. And by the way, this is the scriptures, guys. This isn't me. This is in the Bible, the word of God. And so if you love God, then you'll be known by God. It's inseparable. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, Jesus, yet believing in Jesus, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory because you know who Jesus is. And when you believe, truly believe, God shows himself to you, amen, and you have to rejoice. You can't help but to rejoice. The scripture even says that once you've tasted the goodness of God being Jesus, you can't deny God or Jesus. So when people say, I used to be a Christian, no, they were never a Christian. Oh, I used to go to church. Okay, I believe that. I used to believe the Bible. No, you never believed the Bible. Because if you believe the Bible and now you say it's not true, then you're calling God a liar. Right? Because God says that you can't deny the truth once you've understood the truth being Jesus. How cool is scripture? Someone say amen. Thank you. That way I know you're still awake. Here we go. 1 John 5:1. And by the way, I may come across a little intense today, but I'm so passionate about this because I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Nobody. And so it's like, Pastor, take a breath. When this is over, I will. Here we go. 1 John 5:1. Whoever, who is whoever? Anybody, right? Humanity, any of humanity. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born of God. See, when we're born into this world, we are born into Satan. We are Satan's child. He is our father. What makes it that way? Because we are born with a sin nature. See, Jesus was born of a virgin, right? Mary, who had known no woman ever, or no man ever, forgive me, and no woman. Amen and amen. Someone should have said amen on that. Woo, got hot all of a sudden. Woo, right? Recover? All right. Mary, who had known no man. Amen. Yes. Sometimes we just run with the mouth before the brain catches up. Any rate, why is it that Jesus had to be born of a virgin and not of a man, or have a man as an earthly man as a father? Because the sin nature, sorry, men, is passed through the men. Whereas by one man, Adam, sin passed upon all man, it's passed through the man. So, okay, ladies, all your issues are your daddy's fault. I gave you inheritance. I knew it. Because the sin nature is in the man, it's passed through the man. And if you notice, where did Eve come from? The man. Taken from the rib of a man, and then God formed her. So she got the sin nature because she came from Adam, and everybody that's followed from Adam and Eve has the sin nature, except for Jesus. God the Father is the Father of Jesus, and so therefore, since we get the nature of our Father, Jesus has righteous nature, not sin nature. Okay? Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. Who loves him, who begot. We begot Jesus because we believe in him. And then he says that we are begotten of him, that we belong to him, because once we believe unto Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ comes and lives within us and seals us head to toe unto the day of redemption. What's the day of redemption? The rapture, which I believe is right around the corner. And so they're inseparable. If you love God, you're of God. Cannot separate the two. Believe and belong. And it's inseparable. Only those who believe manifest a surpassing love for Christ. Matthew 10:37. Matthew 10:37. He who loves the father or mother. And now if you notice, it's he, beginning of the sentence. So the person who loves their earthly father or earthly mother, if you notice lowercase, more than me, Jesus, is not worthy of me, Jesus. Jesus says, you should love me more than anybody and anything. And nothing should get in the way. And you're like, what? Love Jesus more than my child? You're not saved. You're not saved. Love me more than my mom? You're not saved. Why? Because if you love Jesus Christ ultimately above everything, then you understand that it is through him that you can love your family members as Christ has loved us. And you can share with them salvation, and you can share with them, and you won't be offended that they're offended that you talk about Jesus. We already know he's a stumbling block, but what do we do if we're silent? We let our loved ones go to hell? Is that what we do? Oh, I don't want to offend them. I can assure you hell's going to offend them. I guarantee you. He who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's not telling us not to love them. He's telling us we need to keep things in his proper perspective, and if it's not in his proper perspective, do you really love Jesus? Man, God, how many here is being challenged this morning? Amen? It's like, wow, this is hard, and I know it's hard. Well, Pastor, you can say it more compassionately. I ain't got time. I got too much to say. Just pretend I am saying it compassionately. Because I am, because I love you, right? That's why I'm telling you this stuff. Now, in complete contrast to that are those who don't believe. You don't do the will of Christ. And you don't love Christ. Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus has become the chief cornerstone, the only way to heaven. And that is the stone that unbelievers reject. And therefore, you won't go to heaven. Now we have an issue, or you have an issue, that you're going to have to deal with. Let me tell you what the problem is. To the person who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe Jesus is worthless. And you go, I don't believe that. No, you, if you, listen, if you're not in line with scriptures, then Jesus isn't who he says he is, and therefore he's not the only way to heaven. He's just a man. Then that's basically worthless when it all matters, amen? Because you don't believe, therefore you're not going to get to heaven. And most people don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God because it doesn't fit their preconceived idea. But everybody believes God's love. So therefore, to say God's going to judge you and condemn you to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, well, God, that's not my God. Or how about this? If I have to take a stand, right, and I have to choose scripture over people's lifestyle, Pastor, you're just not loving. Oh, I am. I'm loving God, right? Well, I'm not going to serve a God that would send somebody to hell. You don't have to serve that God, but you'll be the one going to hell. That's not easy to say, but that's a reality. Not from me, but all the scriptures we've been reading. Guys, someone asked me one time, I was like, Pastor, why don't you give more stories and less scripture? Because the scriptures tell the story. I can give you stories. Listen, I promise you, I can come up here and I can share a story with you to make every one of you cry. Guarantee it. I can share a story, make every one of you laugh. I can share a story, make every one of you just spit fire mad. I can share stories that would absolutely control every one of your emotions. Why don't I do that? I'm not going to emotionally charge you and then you make a decision because you were emotionally charged. I'm going to give you the truth. You're going to process it. You're going to work through it. And then you're going to make a decision. If I'm manipulating your feelings, I'm manipulating you. And people say, Pastor, you couldn't do that to me. Yeah, I can. And you can do it to anybody else. That's what stories do. That's why I do verses. The verses are the story. Most people reject Christ because it doesn't fit their preconceived idea. Matthew 13, 54 through 57. When he had come to his own country, Jesus, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Listen, they recognized Jesus was different. They recognized that, oh my goodness, nobody talks like that. Where did this guy come from? Wait a minute. Isn't he? Go to the next verse. Is this not the carpenter's son being Joseph's, right? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Keep going. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So what's really interesting is, number one, some of you have come in here believing that Mary had no other kids. We just read that Mary had a bunch of kids. Amen? Mary had a bunch of kids. Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, and all the rest from Joseph. There's your scripture. So those who put Mary up here above Jesus, you don't know Jesus. Remember, anybody above Jesus, you have a relationship problem with Jesus? Just pointing this out, guys. Because I'm not talking religion, I'm talking relationship. Verse 57, please. So they were offended at him because they didn't understand and didn't appreciate his words. And that's the problem with today. People are offended by him because they choose a lifestyle, they choose a direction, they choose their own belief. This doesn't line up with it, so they are offended. And if you tell them wrong, now they're really offended. Let me help you. There isn't but one truth, and then that which opposes it. I'm just saying. They were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Look, I get it. You see where I came from, therefore you don't believe me. Okay. Do you think Jesus backed up? Kept moving forward. He kept moving forward. But they were offended by him. Luke chapter 4, verse 20. Luke 4, 20. And then when you see me get toward the end, just keep rolling to the next verse, okay? Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, Jesus. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Guess what? They're about to get offended again. And he said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, whatever we have heard done in Capernaum. How many want to say that's Capernaum? Anyway, Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And if you guys haven't read this, you need to go back and read this about that event he's talking about. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Jesus is telling them what they've already read. They had the Old Testament. That comes out of the Old Testament. He's given them the truth of the Old Testament. And you know what? It doesn't fit their ideology. And so now they're mad at Jesus. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built. And they might throw him down over the cliff. They were so mad at Jesus. It says, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. He literally made himself invisible and walked through the midst of them so they couldn't see him to kill him because it wasn't his time to die yet. Obviously, he has to die on the cross. But all he did was point out the truth of who God is, what God does, and who he is, and how he's involved in all of it. They didn't like what he had to say, and they were filled with wrath. Christians talk about Jesus today, and they don't agree with lifestyles today, and they don't agree with agendas today in America. And what happens to the people toward that Christian? They're filled with wrath. Why? Because it doesn't fit their ideology and their preconceived ideas of who God is. And I'm just going to tell you, God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath and justice and righteousness and holiness, and he has to fulfill all of it, and his love will never supersede his righteousness or his justice. And people don't like that. And so they have a hard time with Jesus because it doesn't fit their ideology. And that's why we have the America that we have today. And anybody that stands on this is truth is wrong, is a bigot, racist, hypocrite, no love, go on and on and on, right? And then we have to make a decision. Are we going to cave to the people in the world, or are we going to stand on the word of truth being God's word? I'm going to tell you right now, if you stand on this, you're not going to be popular, and you're not going to be the most loved, and you're not going to have the biggest church or go to the biggest church. People aren't going to flock to you because it's offensive. Guys, I don't try to offend. The Word of God is already offensive. Well, Pastor, you can deliver it a little bit better. I'll work on that. Right? I'll work on it. But here we go. The rejection was tragic but not surprising, as Peter indicated in Isaiah 8, 14 through 15. I jumped some, so guys, just follow down, jump down. There you go. Thank you. He will be as a sanctuary. He, will be as a sanctuary. Jesus will be as a sanctuary to those who believe in him. But a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Wait a minute, what? We're talking about God here? We're talking about Jesus, who's a rock of offense, a stumbling stone? Jesus, a trap and a snare? We're talking about Jesus. What happened to Jesus that's all love? Guys, you got to understand who Jesus is, and the fact that because he loves us, it's got to be his way. And people want it their way. Verse 15. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Now, this verse is prophecy of what is to come. And many people are going to stumble over the very truth of the Word of God. I can't believe that. I can't accept that. I can't serve a God that won't love the homosexual. I didn't say he didn't love the homosexual. The Bible says the homosexual does not inherit heaven. I didn't say God didn't love them. God loved them enough that he sent his son to die for them. Well, that's unacceptable. No, it might be unacceptable to you, but it's the truth. But you know what? Listen, if I don't choose to follow God and believe that Jesus Christ died for me, I don't go to heaven either. But we only want to hear the hate side of it. No, it's all love, and it's for every human being. Because if you got a sinful lifestyle and you're sinful and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you believe, what you do, where you go, you're going to go to hell. Not because you're a homosexual, but because you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You end the homosexuality. I mean, it's just, see how it all works? And it's not that anybody hates anyone. It's just that the Word of God is what it is, whether you like it or you don't like it. And I'm not picking on homosexuals. I'm just using them because, well, they're in our faith today. All right, here we go. He is a stone of offense. A stone of stumbling was any stone that people could trip over as they moved down the road, and a rock of offense was the rock bed they could be crushed against after they fell over the other stone. All right, go to Luke chapter 20, verse 17 through 18, and I'm wrapping this up. All right. Then he, Jesus, looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone?" 18. "Whoever falls on that stone will be broken." Let me explain this passage, because it says, "But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now we know the cornerstone is Jesus. We know the stone that this verse is talking about is the cornerstone. If you fall on the cornerstone, literally what's happening is you are hitting your knees, recognizing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're repentant. You're forgiving, or you ask for forgiveness. He forgives you. Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. You have fallen on the stone. You're broken. You recognize your sinful nature. You recognize you need a Savior. You recognize Jesus Christ is that Savior. You're broken. Your pride is gone because you realize without him, you have no hope. You're broken. Okay? "But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. For those who do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the wrath of God will be poured out on you and you will be broken down to nothing. You will absolutely be ground down to powder, a dust. God will destroy you on every level. And then for eternity, you're in hell. That's what that's talking about. And you say, Pastor, I don't like that. And I can assure you, I don't like preaching it. I would love for you to think I was the greatest pastor ever and that I never hurt anybody's feelings and you love me. And I believe you do, most of you anyway. There's some of you that did until you came in this morning. There are two types of people and only two types of people. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're going to heaven. And those who don't, and they're going to hell. That's it. There is no other. You can read books and they'll tell you there's 4,500 different religions in the world. But I'm going to tell you there's not 4,500. There's two. Two. Christianity, God's way, or humanism, man's way. That's it. Satan would have you to believe if you're good enough, you'll get there. If you give enough money to the church, you'll get there. I don't want your money. Keep your money. You might as well enjoy all you can while you're here on earth because it's going to get ugly when you're gone. Christianity or humanism? That's your choice. There's nothing else. Either God's your father or Satan's your father. There's nothing else. I wish there were. I wish I could give you a third. And I love when people say, you know, I'm not going to choose right now. I'm just going to ride the fence. Satan owns the fence. If you doubt, don't think you'll get anything from me, God says. Well, I'm just not going to make a decision. That's wonderful, but here's the problem. You already made a decision. That's what people don't even get. To not make a decision for God is making a decision for Satan. You've already made a decision. There is no neutral when it comes to God. There's no neutral. Well, I'll just stay where I'm at. Okay. But if where you're at is not in Christ, you're in Satan. That's just where it is. I got a ton of verse. I'm not even going. I'm done. I'm going to be honest with you. Today is a hard day for me. I got to make some decisions today. Share some painful stuff with you today. You guys have no clue how deep in my heart I carry you. If I could just snap my fingers and everyone go to heaven, it would happen. But it's not my rules. It's not my heaven. I don't make that decision. Even with my children, you know, when they were growing up, I was like, God, don't let them walk away from you. God, I don't want any of my children in hell. But there was nothing I could do except for be honest, be real, share truth, and live it out. And then pray that my children see it, hear it, see God, surrender to God, and then live that out. And that's my same prayer with you guys. And I know that sometimes when I preach, I get passionate about the Word of God. I love teaching the Word of God. And sometimes some of the things are so hard to say that the only way I can say it is just throw it out there, right? And hopefully it doesn't knock you out or knock you over, but that you hear it and you receive it. I need you to hear today what I said. This isn't my gospel. It's God's. It is my truth because I believe it. So therefore, it's mine, not because I wrote it, but because I believe it. So I take ownership of it. But if you don't take ownership of this, heaven is not yours. It's just a truth that we're all going to have to deal with. And we either deal with it here and now, or we live it out when we die. Rest assured, it's going to happen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you do it on this side of heaven or on the other side. No one is exempt from the truth of this book. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a decision to make. The decision isn't if. The decision's when. Are you going to believe here? Or are you going to believe when you see it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You've heard the Word of God. And you realize that this is a decision. John 3:16 says, "For whosoever," that's anyone, "calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That whosoever is you and me and anyone else. So here's my question. Do you believe what I said today? I didn't ask if you understood it all. I asked if you believe it. There is a difference. If you believed it, then you have to make a decision. And doing nothing is still a decision. See, I already know when I die, I'm going to heaven. 10,000% confident in that. And you say, well, how can you be so confident? Because the Bible tells me if I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins, and if I believe unto him, heaven is my home. And if I don't believe, then I'm condemned to hell. That's what the scriptures say. And since I believe, heaven's my home. If you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Christ, then I want you to pray a prayer. But you have to hear me now. These words are not magical. The words aren't what's going to get you to heaven. If you don't believe what you're about to pray in your heart, the words are useless. They have no value. The only reason I asked you to pray a prayer is because it helps walk you through it, and you make a conscious decision to pray that prayer, which is a conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you have a time stamp. This was the day I surrendered. It's not the words that get you to heaven. It's do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, and without him, you cannot get to heaven. That is all it is. I can already assure you of this. If you're waiting to be good enough, it won't happen, because you'll never be good enough. Surrender is the first step of obedience, and then the rest follows. If it's your desire to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, then you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. And if you don't mean it, don't fool yourself. Don't do it. Spare yourself some heartache. But if you mean it, make that decision today. Secure it. Nail it down. Pray this prayer if it's your desire. Jesus, today I surrender. I don't understand all the word, but I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. I believe that you are at the right hand of the Father. I believe that without you, it is impossible to get to heaven. Today I surrender. Help me grow. Help me learn. Help me to understand your word, your will.